Well, welcome to the round table for August 28th. Hard to believe it's already the end of August. Joined by Troop from Trooper Care Network, Joe Dolio from Tactical Wisdom. We'll be joined here in a few minutes by Matt Everett, NC Scout, Radio Contra, Brush Beater. And I'm not sure if we're going to get Chris from Combat Studies Group or Bracken tonight. And just so everybody's on the same page of how I do these round tables. I keep it open during the week because all of us have day jobs. All of us are doing a number of activities outside of this. So I know Bracken was just on Coffee and a Mic. I think yesterday I talked to Mike. Thursday, tomorrow night, I won't be hosting tomorrow night. Mike Ferris is going to host the show tomorrow night. I'm going to be out of pocket tomorrow. So we'll do the audio version of the roundtable tomorrow, but I will be moderated by Mike Ferris from Coffee and a Mic. So lots going on. We're going to talk about Duroff, the founder of Twitter, of Telegram. Going to talk about the space debris that came down either last night or today. Not sure when. All I know is a bunch of people forwarded me a bunch of posts talking about alien invasion, which, yeah. Okay. And then going to talk a little bit about the whole RFK, Tulsi Gabbard endorsement of Trump and why that's significant from an information perspective. And then I'm going to talk through some of the narratives that have been floating around over the last couple of days regarding the situation on the ground in Ukraine. So lots going on. So we'll start with the Telegram situation with Duroff. Come to find out that there's no shortage of stupid on social media. So he was rolled up because one of the hoes that was traveling with him was literally posting on social media all of their locations, tail numbers of helicopters, tail numbers of aircraft, where they were going next. Literally, they were just waiting for him because by the time he got from where he was at to Paris, they already knew he was coming because of this woman. So our conversation about communication security and operational security, most definitely applicable in this case. So, you know, two things that everybody should embrace. The first one is when you're trying to move around, it's really a good idea to shut the fuck up and operate as if you're in a wartime situation, because we are. And then secondly, and most importantly, be cognizant of your situation and where you are and what you're doing. You know, if you're a high value target, like most of us are, we're not going to advertise where we are at any one moment. We may say after the fact where we were, but we're not going to be saying, okay, I'm in Texas right now. Okay, I'm at this restaurant. Yeah. Unless we're actually trying to do some kind of an event. Yeah, I don't see that as a smart idea.
So let me follow on the OPSEC thing, Steve. I posted a thing to your channel from the Russian channels. The Ukrainians had this big media event for one of their F-16 pilots at some fabled dude. And they had the media. They had the location of where this media event was going to be. They advertised the media event. They put the pilot guy and the F-16 on the whatever Ukrainian television show. And the Russians were like, thanks for the info. And they fucking bombed they killed the guy and they blew up an F-16. That happened like a couple days ago. They're just like, oh, there he is. So a pretty huge OPSEC failure. That's
everyone would have learned their lesson from the Ukrainian Foreign Legion when everyone was posting their Instagrams, their training camp, and then it got rained upon by rockets, right? But you know what? Our addiction to social media will be our undoing.
So. Yes. Yes, it will. And the other side of that too is ask yourself a question. What would your life be like if you didn't have social media at all in your life? You didn't have to post anything. You didn't bother to post anything. What would your life, how different would your life be?
I'd be using Narcan for nasal spray.
Would your life be Would it be less busy, more busy? Because I know people that spend a tremendous amount of time posting on social media, some of the dumbest things I've ever seen. So what's the trade-off? If you're not on social media, then you're not a high-value target. And why it's important is, as we start to go through where we're going now, which, look at the UK. What are they doing in the UK? They're rolling up. They rolled up an 11-year-old for a social media post. This is literally, they've declared war on their own citizens, and now they're rolling up their own citizens for thought and speech. Let me roll us back to a year and a half ago when the Ministry of Truth was rolled out under DHS, and everybody, you know, got in line to beat that woman into submission, to where she finally had to resign. But did they retire that? No, they just moved it under a different organization. And now you have the apparatus of censorship across the U.S. And RFK said that part out loud when he was talking to Tucker Carlson. If you haven't seen the RFK Tucker Carlson interview, you should go watch it, because he says the quiet part out loud. They have built an apparatus of censorship, and they did it throughout COVID. That's what all the COVID dollars were for. It was for building this apparatus to turn people off and build the social scoring system. Every part of it is now being leveraged in the UK. And because they don't have guns, they can't pick up guns. In this day and age, they are going to literally, the next step is going to be, they're going to try and deplatform Telegram. They're going to try and deplatform Rumble. They're going to try and deplatform Truth Social, just like they did to Parler back in 2021. They literally took Parler offline because it was hosted on Amazon Web Services. So all of the alternative media after that literally took note of how they did that with Parler, and then everybody ran away from any of the hosted platforms like Amazon, Google, and Microsoft. Why? Because they're all in bed with the CIA. They're all in bed with NSA. They're all in bed with DHS. They're all in bed with CISA. And CISA was created to oversee government systems. But what are they really doing? They're censoring. They're interdicting in elections. They're building offices overseas to help with the censorship. Now more than any time in your life is a time to walk away from social media and keep your persona and your footprint very, very small.
I'm going to jump in on one thing on the Durov thing. So for those of you who don't know, this guy Durov founded Telegram. He had some other social media thing that the Russians wanted him to shut down, and he walked away from it. It was like the Russian version of Facebook. I don't remember what it was. But he said, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to do something new now. So he left the country. He starts Telegram. There's a lot of always a paranoia of, is Telegram a CIA, you know, thing and whatever. But it's basically, it's our, you know, Facebook for rednecks, right? So here we are. The interesting thing about this is these governments are demanding that these social media companies turn over user information when they post things that they don't like, or they post things that is considered illegal content outside of the United States. And social media companies are now, you know, starting to stand up and go, no. And it's interesting. Remember when you had those shooters in California and they had the locked Apple phone, and it was the Trump administration and wanted to get in the Apple phone, and Apple said, no, we're not going to unlock the phone, but they, you know, they unlock shit now. They don't care. Well, here's a really interesting about Durov. This guy lands. I know, Matt. This guy lands in, I know it's all a front, but let me finish this thought first. So Durov, a very well-heeled guy, he lands on his private jet in France, and he's got the gendarme waiting for him, takes him into custody. Now, this should tell all of us something, because I shit post to Twitter all the time, fuck you, world leaders, or whomever, I don't care, I'm an American, you can't do shit to me, you can eat a bag of dicks. I guarantee you that my name is on a travel list, and when I show up at Heathrow Airport or wherever it is I plan on traveling, those dudes are going to be waiting for me too. And I won't have $5 million in my bank account to post a bond. But that's just, this is the level that they're willing to go. And it isn't that you would worry about going into a foreign country, like a third world country, and then getting jacked up. The reason why they're doing this is because we have communists in charge of our own country, because there was a time in the United States where you were basically Roman. And if you went to another country like a France or an Italy and they tried some preposterous, you know, jack you up on stupid charges thing, their trade, they would have to worry about some major implications politically. Now they don't. We're rootless, toothless, trackless. We have no respect in the world whatsoever. And as an American citizen, you literally have no rights anywhere you go. So what they did to Durov, I think, is a good bellwether for what they're going to do to anybody else. They don't like what you posted. They're just going to wait for you to leave the United States, and then they're going to jack you up 2 years from now, 3 years from now, whatever. They're just going to wait. They're going to do the same thing the police officers do when they pick up somebody on a bench warrant. They're not going to go look for you. They're just going to wait for you to get pulled over on a traffic stop and go, oh, you got a bench warrant. Then they're going to jack you up. So think about that.
Go ahead, Matt. You were shaking your head. I can't wait for this rant.
All right. No, it's not a rant. Facts matter. Yeah. It's first of all, the shooting happened under Obama. It was in 2015. All right. Trump wasn't president. All right. So that's issue number one. Issue number two is that the FBI claimed that they could not get into the Apple iPhones of the two suspects, the husband and wife. That's also false. And in fact, what I was doing was just fact checking myself here. They absolutely got into it. And I'm gonna caveat this a bit. They absolutely got into it, and it was an Israeli company, Cellebrite, assisted with getting into it, meaning they already had it. Here's the thing. At that time, Apple was advertising their products based on security. They no longer do that, by the way. That was their justification for having closed source devices, whether they were the iPad or the iPhone, iTouch or iFuckYou or whatever. Doesn't matter what it is, right? That's it. All right. They're closed source devices. Everything in the back end of Apple goes to the cloud, and it's been this way for well over a decade, because when you have the user agreement with the iPhone, at least since the iPhone 5, right? I was aware of this, the iPhone 5. I was using iProducts up until the iPhone 5C, because that was the last one that you could jailbreak and install your own programs without your own applications, rather, without Apple's knowledge. After that, you could no longer do that. I switched to other alternatives. They have remote access to everything that you have. So the San Bernardino shooters were using the iPhone 6, to my recollection. It could have been a 5C, but I'm fairly certain it was a 6. They couldn't get into the back end of it, right? This is what they claimed, what the FBI was claiming. You need to understand something, that under U.S. Title III, which is the broad legal framework around electronics eavesdropping and surveillance, right? The Electronics Eavesdropping Act of FISA specifically is part of 1967, the reforms that were made. Right? These are all federal laws, and they grant jurisdiction over certain types of evidence and authorizations of collection of certain types of evidence with respect to the Fourth Amendment. Well, it's not what you can collect. In law enforcement, it's widely known in criminal investigations, it's not what you can collect as far as evidence goes. It's what's legally admissible in court. Every criminal investigator, every school for criminal investigation begins this at the 101 level. It's the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine, right? And so if the FBI had admitted that it collected incriminating evidence electronically, extrajudicially, which the NSA can do that, because the NSA is not focused on criminal investigations. They're focused on national security investigations. It's a very different thing that works under Title 50. Now, that can lead to a criminal investigation, but in and of itself, it is not. Okay. So they're two very different pools here, right, to understand legal justifications. And it's not that what they can get into, it's that they want a legal case to grant them precedence behind something. This was the framework behind the lawsuit against Apple. Apple's whole business model at the time, this is when Tim Cook had this is when Tim Cook had just taken over as the CEO of Apple, and their products were being promoted as secure. It's security conscious, right? Notice that after this case, they changed all of that language to, well, we just build really awesome products that will last a long time. Okay, cool, right? They shifted their language, the whole marketing thing. And I know a decade is kind of a long term, that gets memory hold, you know, things 5 minutes ago get memory hold with a lot of people, but I remember. So the FBI didn't get granted their case. They didn't get that. But it doesn't mean that they can't surveil things. It doesn't mean they can't get into things. So with Telegram, issues with Telegram, there's a use case with Telegram. Messaging is not one of them. Okay. Yeah, sure. I understand it's a messaging service. Okay, cool. Messaging is not one of them. As far as foreign agencies being involved in Telegram, it was originally intended to be a direct competitor to both WhatsApp, which we know has long since been compromised, and Signal, which, if you don't believe Signal is collecting all of your data, you should get on the Boeing rocket ship to Mars. Because it's
funded by the CIA. It was funded by a CIA front company. And
Telegram,
so all that goat porn and all that other shit that people are posting out there, yeah, it's going right to the CIA. So they have a pretty big dossier on me, I'm sure.
Well, if you had a clearance, that's the dossier. You know, and obviously you did.
Yeah. You know I have one of those.
Exactly. Then they already have one. But here's the thing with Telegram. Telegram was created as a alternative to Signal because everybody's coming up with their own, you know, their own little version of the same thing. MI6 is what came up with Telegram. You can look back at this. This is why Telegram was being hosted in Britain for a long period of time. They had their fingers all in it. And it's all... By the way, it doesn't really matter when you know we're pointing fingers at this technology, that type. Look, if they're hosted under Five Eyes, if you're not familiar with the Five Eyes agreement, you need to get familiar with it. Like if somebody gets into the conversation of this messaging app or that messaging and they're talking security concerns and they don't mention Five Eyes, full stop, you don't know what you're talking about, period. All right, and here's the thing about Five Eyes. It is an electronic eavesdropping agreement that we have, an electronic surveillance agreement that we have with several other countries, Britain, Germany, France, for example, Australia. Now, Five Eyes has become Nine Eyes. It's projected to become 13 Eyes, right? It's basically everybody that's in the Bretton Woods banking system, because this is all following the banks. You have to follow the money on this. Because banks have to have a manner of which that they're projecting force to ensure security of their assets, and that's how you do it. Well, when it comes to all of this, the Five Eyes, it's not the United States necessarily that's surveilling you.
Right.
It could be Britain. It could be Germany. It could be France. Could be Australia. Right.
I assume it's all of them.
Or it could be extranational threats, right? China, right? Russia, for sure, right? I know that the Chinese are surveilling. You got TikTok on your device? Guess what you got, right? You know, and a lot of people could say, well, you know, I mean, are they any worse or any better? Who knows, right? That's a conversation for you to decide. I'm just explaining to you what the threat modeling is, right? It's there. So... with all of that said, the question revolving around Durov. Durov became autonomous, and that's the problem. Just like with Elon Musk, he became autonomous. They learned that with Musk, and they've learned yet again, I mentioned Boeing for a reason. They've learned yet again with Musk that he is indispensable They used to be able to keep him in a small compartmentalized state, right? And they're always just going to hold the FEC over him, right? They say, oh, we'll just get the FEC or the Securities and Exchange Commission, rather. We'll just stick them on you, right? If you know, we're going to go through all your tax records, all your trading records with a fine-tooth comb, and that's how we're going to come after you, right? But that's what they attempted to do with Twitter, by the way. That's why they were flipping out when he bought Twitter, was because that was going to blow the lid off of a number of operations they had running. The reason that Twitter became Twitter was because of the Syrian civil war. We learned in Libya that Facebook was too slow. These were the revelations, by the way, this very week with Facebook, that everybody, you know, who's been aware for a while, myself included, I've done many podcasts talking about exactly what Facebook Meta is doing and why it was created to do what it did. It became relevant and into the public parlance during the Arab Spring, because this was how we were organizing the Arab Spring, the flash mobs. We were doing it with Facebook, right? We were creating, it was all a giant psyop. We created fake profiles. We created fake people. We created influencers. This is where the term influencer came from, by the way. It all came out of the social, the Arab Spring. You can get on Amazon. I implore everybody to do this. If you don't believe me, you don't buy what I'm selling, hey, that's fine. I want you to get on Amazon, and I want you to type in social media in the Arab Spring, and you're going to see a bunch of academic works, right? We've been studying this, sociology, political science. We've been studying these things for a long period of time. As you know, we talk about white papers and academic journals and all this stuff. It's all out there. It's published data now, right? And so, and people just don't want to believe it for whatever reason. This is where all of these things came from. Well, what we have learned since then, right? Twitter, Facebook was too slow. We wanted something a little faster. The flow, the conduits of information. The Libyan civil war, the campaign against Gaddafi, were a little too slow, right? We needed to speed this up. We got to Syria. Twitter became so much more important because it was easier, by the way. It was easier to invent people online. It was easier to invent the spheres of influence on Twitter, which was exactly what they did, right? Fast forward just 1 year removed from that into the first iteration of Ukraine, the issues they were having, right? We tried this in Venezuela as well. We tried it in Kyrgyzstan. Didn't work in either one of those places. We tried it in Cuba. It didn't work. What did they do? The very first thing that they did, and the Russians realized this, they stepped in each one of those cases, they shut social media down. They realized in Ukraine that was their fatal flaw in their strategy. They needed to shut it down. Here's where Telegram comes in. All right. So a lot of people are probably wondering, well, where does a messaging app like Signal or Telegram, where does this fit into the mix, right? WhatsApp got exposed too early and people moved away from it. Now I don't think anybody uses it for anything. Signal keeps getting out there because they learned their lesson with WhatsApp, because Signal is so ubiquitous and people are just married to it. And they keep saying, oh, well, you know, independent researchers say, well, who are these independent researchers that is secure? And what's the threat model? What is the nature of the security here, right? So Telegram.
I want to stop you there for a second, Matt, because there's a couple of key points that I want to clue in and key in on about Signal. So we use Signal. I use Signal all the time, but I know that they're collecting everything I'm doing.
Right.
Yep. So I assume that single time I log into it. The other part of that too is those fake personas are still out there. They use them on every social media platform. It's bots now and AI. And you can watch, it's not as bad as it used to be on Twitter, but on Twitter, you could literally watch the bots having conversations to try and draw you in. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go test that theory, go try and inject a comment. When you inject a comment into the feed as it's building, you'll see that the AI skips over you and it keeps having a conversation. So it's not as sophisticated as you might think. However, Matt's right, because we learned a lot between 2004 and 2009 with the IEDs and the IED makers in Iraq because they were highly effective at publicizing blowing up American troops. It was one of our biggest Achilles heels. We didn't account for social media on the ground. Fast forward, and now we do. It's a part of our planning cycle. It's a part of how we plan operations now as we start looking at, you know, what mediums are being used in the local population and which ones are popular and which ones do we influence. And so if you don't think that you're being influenced right now, think again, because every platform out there, if it, and this question, I think Trigger will ask this question before, you know, what platforms are being collected on? What types of electronics? Everything. If it emits a signal, if it transmits a signal, if it transmits something across the internet, it can be intercepted, manipulated, and collected on. Bar none. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how much high-speed encryption. Doesn't matter. They can break it down. And PGP, for a long time, we thought PGP was unbreakable. That was a farce from day one. We were collecting on PGP years ago. So there's no, what I'm trying to say is there's no such thing as a secure platform. Assume everything you're using is being monitored in some way, shape, or form.
Also understand on that note that security is a pipe, right? So you got a culvert under a road where water goes through. Water goes in, that water is your traffic. It goes in one end, it comes out the other. The weak point is the other end where it comes out. The weak point might be you too, inadvertently. But the weak point's on the other end. So talking about Telegram, the purpose of Telegram and Signal was to have a tool back in its early days. It was to have a tool that could communicate on mobile devices as a contingency means to assets in the field. That was its purpose. That's its continued purpose, by the way. That's Signal's continued purpose to this day. Telegram was another form of that. Telegram, however, has another very useful feature that the latest incarnation of Signal is trying to implement. And that is, if you'll notice on Signal, everybody that has Signal Messenger, you can open it up and you'll see my story in there. You can actually create posts. There's a social media aspect to it. Telegram's already doing this. They're trying to catch up with Telegram because they realize that Telegram has that expedited nature of that now what I was saying about Facebook being too slow, so they went to Twitter. Well, now Twitter is too slow, and then that conduit of information is too slow for a lot of people. We've realized in particular since 2018 forward in Ukraine, that Telegram has really won the day, right? In terms of unbiased information, raw data. Well, now they're really, really inside their feelings because, well, at least the campaign handlers are really inside their feelings because this didn't, their whole incursion into Kursk got fucked up quick, fast, and in a hurry. And why? Because despite what they were saying, despite the disinformation, despite the deep fakes of photos and everything else that was just ridiculous, they weren't winning. And you can't, you can say, well, you know, all right, some images, maybe even some videos now could be deep fake. That's true. Or old video, old footage being used. But there was just so much raw data that was happening almost instantaneously that was getting put up to Telegram that they said, you know, hey, we got to shut this off. And that's the reason. If you look at how quickly the Kursk invasion from Ukraine into Russia fell apart, and predictably, by the way, I've said it on this show now 2 weeks in a row, if you study Operation Magistral of the Soviets in Afghanistan, that's literally exactly what happened here. Not quite on par with Barbarossa, but it was close. Really dumb move. And, you know, that energy was best utilized elsewhere on their front trying to actually retake Ukrainian territory. But that's neither here nor there. Now the backlash is going to happen. And so Durov was playing a game because he's been a British asset for a very long time now. They made him wealthy. the British did. And so he's now, he's been playing that game because there's a certain degree of what do the Russians know and when did they know it? And the same with Iranians, same with Hamas, Hezbollah, all these militant groups. There's a certain degree of plausibility there and saying, hey, this is a good tool to have because we can see what they're doing in real time. But when it is, it's become an embarrassment to the degree that it has to the power brokers, you know, in the West and in NATO, they got to shut this thing down. And they told Durov he's going to shut this down. And he's not on par with Elon Musk. He's not up there with Peter Thiel. He might be a billionaire, but he's got several Achilles heels, and they got him. And that's what's happening here. Now, I do expect more to happen towards Musk. That he's certainly not untouchable, and we're going to see things. Peter Thiel is going to be the interesting one to watch, though, because Peter Thiel has been his faction of that class of wealth has been aligned with Trump. And so that's going to be very interesting to see. Peter Thiel, by the way, made his money on PayPal, which was yet another piece of this tech puzzle of the intertwined tech and governance, right? The how it was intermeshed and this new these new tools within the Panopticon. He's yet another billionaire now who was made based on that. Based on that model, and they're all together. By the way, they're all together. They didn't just occur out of nowhere, you know, in a vacuum. They didn't just magically make their money. No, they were created with seed money. The last Jason Bourne movie laid it out pretty well.
Yeah. The one titled Jason Bourne. It's a great movie.
Mm-hmm. So you know it again. Where all of this is going, essentially, I know I came in late. I apologize for that. I had a very important business call. But the where these things are headed, I would expect that billionaire class who have really stood up for freedom of speech, because they see where this is headed, right? It's not even about the manifestations of power and, you know, the machinations of, you know, a certain class of people. It's the fact that they do have a conscience and they see where this is headed and they see the dystopianism that this is going, the direction that it is going in. And they're seeking to shut that down. Of course, the whole question about how to keep yourself safe and all of that amid that is yet another one. And I highly implore everybody to go to listen to last week's roundtable where I talked about that in depth. I've done that on the past few episodes, and you know, I've done podcasts on my own over on Radio Contra, talked about this on Twitter. There are a large number of messaging apps out there that are solid, but you should never ever place all your eggs in one basket. You should always have a PACE plan, primary, alternate, contingency, emergency. And you know, the road less taken is the one that probably doesn't have the IEDs on it.
You know, there are three quick steps everyone can take. Number one is put in a different password or PIN number on your social media apps than is on your phone. So it requires two passwords to get in there. Two, set your messages to delete. Remember famously when Mike Lindell was driving through a Hardee's drive-thru and the FBI rolled up on him just to get his phone? That's because they wanted to see the messages that were on the screen in his messaging apps. So make sure that you are setting those to disappear and go away. And the third thing is never, ever, ever use biometrics to access your phone, because they can compel you to provide your face or your fingerprint. They cannot compel you to give information that is kept only in your head.
You know, the news story where they just released this Joker's rifle or alleged rifle, I read the little thing on there and they said the FBI has the record of his account searching for like making bombs and debt court and stuff going all the way back to 2019.
It's
2024
yeah.
Right now. Think about that history, some innocuous web search from 2019. So, yeah. But the OPSEC thing's definitely an issue. But the point I was trying to make all that's important. The point I was trying to make is, you know, you go on Twitter and you tell the PM of England to eat a bag of dicks, you're going to get locked up when you land in Heathrow on your way to Italy. You're just, they're going to come after us because we don't have any clout. You know, we're not Romans anymore as a U.S. citizens. So that's definitely a problem. They're willing to lock up 11-year-old children. They're definitely going to lock up even low-level social media influencers as soon as they come into their territory.
Yeah. Mean tweets.
I would say a couple of things. Part of the reason why we're talking about this is I'm routinely asked which platforms are safe, which platforms are secure. There's no such thing. And great, as if there's no such thing. Same with radio. Radio can be intercepted and monitored. And even with the best, you know, intentions of codes and using code words, it can still be broken. So what we're trying to say to you in a lot of different ways is don't plan around having secure comms. Plan around having comms, but don't plan around having secure comms. And stay outside of the threat space as much as you can by doing as much, face-to-face, as much, even passing notes is more secure than using online or using social media. So, and to answer a couple of questions, so Mines is distributed. So T2207, you were saying that Mines is asking about Mines. It's distributed, right? It's not centralized like Rumble is, like True Social is. It has its own challenges, right? The reason why they decentralized Mines was so that they could push out content and it couldn't be intercepted at the source centrally. And yeah, that's an option to move to, but they're still monitoring it. Shout out to Georges for the $20. That'll go to Troop.
Got a Tomahawk. Couple of donations there, Steve. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, so Tomahawk for $10. I appreciate that. That'll go to Troop too. So Dave Hodges, yeah, I know who that is. Haven't had him on the show. I haven't talked to him. A couple of people have done introductions. I got a few introductions today to a couple of other shows that I'm trying to slowly but surely work through. My focus is on keeping this roundtable going because there's a lot of value in it. And I want to address something that was a comment on Twitter. There's sometimes no reason for us to be succinct about things because we're trying to get a point across, but more importantly, we're trying to get and we're trying to drill down on specific subjects, right? If you want to hear the short narrative, then this isn't the show, because there's a lot of people that don't understand the information space, and it's the Achilles heel of this community. Like Monday I was doing a rant about numerology, and I had spent literally all day fighting with Christian zealots because they think that, you know, I'm embracing, you know, Satanism because I'm trying to understand numerology. And that conversation in of itself could have been 2 hours. This conversation could be 4 hours because technology is, if people take for granted the technology they have in their hand, they don't realize how invasive a phone is. A phone is very invasive. Just like social media is very invasive, but it's also that the part that Matt's not talking about, and by the way, there was a comment about CISA. Yeah, CISA was rebranded from a couple of different organizations. It wasn't just NPPD. It was a few different organizations, and that stemmed from a number of attacks that happened across the government space. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues, and that go all the way back to 2007, one of the biggest issues the government has when it comes to cyber attacks is there's not a single pane of glass to see if that attack is happening in different parts of .gov. It's literally limited to the agency that's being attacked. So that was the premise for which CISA was created. And the director of CISA now, Jen Easterly, used to be the 355th commander, worked for Keith Alexander at NSA. Keith Alexander's moved off to the board of Amazon. So if you start looking at the linkages of why all of this is important to fit all the pieces together, you should really take a bigger look at where the money is and where the money's flowing from. Matt's right in that. follow the money and you'll follow where this is coming from and why. The big bankers, and I'm talking Jamie Dimon, Larry Fink, and that group of malcontents. And what you're seeing right now is a dick waving contest between the haves and the have nots. Why this is important is we have no say in this. We have no input into the national level. This is all being done at that level. And they would love nothing better than to do away with governments, create economic zones, and have it run completely by bankers, and we're back to serfdom. That's why talking about information and how to stay out of the information space is important right now, because we've made it too easy by signing up for all these social media platforms. We've made it too easy for them to collect on us, too easy for them to profile us, and too easy for them to manipulate us. Now the challenge is going to be stepping back away from that and rebuilding communities the old-fashioned way, which is through human engagement. Most people don't know how to do that. I can tell you anybody under the age of 26 does not know how to do that. Their whole world revolves around social media, and it's designed to be addictive. It's designed to be all-consuming. That's why I was saying earlier, what would it cost you if you walked away from it? And in fact, try taking a phone away from a 12-year-old that's immersed in social media and see what happens. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, let's move on to something else, because I think you touched on it, man. I want to drill down on this. I think the interesting moves of the week was RFK's endorsement of Trump, which wasn't a surprise to me, by the way, and neither was Tulsi Gabbard, because I think you mentioned it earlier. We're seeing an alignment of oligarchs starting to move towards manipulating the system to retain First Amendment, Second Amendment, et cetera. And I think that those battle lines are being drawn. I want to drill down on Peter Thiel because you mentioned his name, and I think that the jury's still out on him. I don't think he's a good guy, but I think that it's interesting where they positioned him now next to Trump. And I get the real strong sense that Trump is not exactly happy with his position and the deals he's made, but I'll let you guys chime in on that one.
Well, the Tulsi Gabbard thing, I think people were seeing for a while coming. And RFK, I mean, how do you put him in a box? I would say he's like the John McCain of the Democratic Party, you know, and then he switches teams. So I don't know what effect that's going to have, but I think it is going to have a lot of effect on voters like over 60 or over 50 even, maybe. I'm expecting somebody like a Joe Manchin or somebody from Pennsylvania to flip. That's my prediction. And every time one of those guys comes over, they are going to bring some Democrats with them. But the media is already torching Tulsi Gabbard. And as soon as RFK endorsed Trump, boy, they just started throwing Molotov cocktails at his reputation. So is it, I want to believe that there's a world where, like, you know, you're talking about the center of the Delta curve. I would like to think that there's a world where there is still a center of the Delta curve of the Democratic Party, however narrow that may be, that is going, wow, you know, I really respected these guys and these guys are for Trump now. What does this mean? You know, and I'm thinking a lot of those guys are probably going to be your business owners, your more educated people, maybe even, you know, some of the younger, left-leaning individuals that are in the workforce, and they're really seeing that there's no future for them in the path that we're on. So it's going to make a big difference. But then, you know, the other big difference is where, you know, where and who is going to be counting the votes, right? But as far as like I can't think of any time that this has happened in other countries, and you know, in history, where you had a fractured party, you had a bunch of groups of people that were not compatible, and then suddenly they start not just building coalitions to win the election like they did in the UK, where the communists and the Muslims joined up to, you know, to get another guy in, but I'm talking about a genuine merging of people that had different ideologies that are now going, you know what, we need to think of the greater, you know, the greater good here. And then bind up, like, you know, like RFK has. I think we expected Tulsi to do that, but the fact that Trump just keeps adding these guys, you know, he just keeps pulling more of them out of the Democratic Party and putting them on Team Trump. So that's got to really be hard for the media to spin that. this just that problem has got to be hard to work through and gaslight through.
Well, remember that RFK and or JFK Jr. and Trump were good friends, and that Trump's been around the Kennedy clan pretty much his whole life. So it's not a stretch for me to see RFK linking up with him, especially given the fact that they've just plain lied about him in the press and defamed his reputation, which I guess is, again, RFK said this out loud on Tucker Carlson, that, defaming people and defamation is common practice now. So I think there's a couple of different points of this that I'm looking at. I'm not looking at this from the perspective of good or bad. I'm looking at this from who's less douchey than the others and what's their agenda. I think the agenda is, I think some of the oligarchs have figured out that if this goes the way that the Euro fags and the global homos want, then their life is going to change, right? So some of this is about self-protection and self-preservation. Another part of it is about economics, right? I think a lot of this boils down to economics. And when you consolidate that much wealth with so few people, which is what BlackRock's done over the last several years. And by the way, folks, the housing market right now, I was talking to a broker today, and he was telling me that almost 2/3 of the purchases right now are being done by investment firms. Mm-hmm. Either people flipping houses, people buying single family houses, or extensions of BlackRock and Vanguard under a different name that are buying single family residences. They really are trying to make sure you own nothing and are happy. They're literally working towards that. So a lot of what you're seeing right now is being artificially done by organizations that have deep pockets and able to do that. So you're going to continue to see the housing market moving. It won't move as fast as it did in the last few years, but it's going to continue to move. And as it does, you will see the prices will stay somewhat deflated for now, but they're not going down to where they were in 2010 or 2013. Those days are gone. And it's because they're consuming the market. They're consuming a lot of houses in the market. They're leaving a lot of properties off the market. So there's not a lot of inventory, and it's keeping the price level up. And they're doing that on purpose to price people out. So, and just like the conversation about Powell lowering rates, I don't see that happening until next year at the earliest. He wants to see who's going to come out of this election. And Troop's right. It doesn't matter what the message is. It matters who's counting the votes and how that process is going to go, especially in November. Look, they've set conditions so no one will buy the results of the election. If we get to, I'm going to say this again, because I've had a lot of people tell me that they're not going to vote. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to vote regardless if we get to that day. I'm going to plan on going to the polls and voting. Why? Because I'm going to go all the way through the process. And then depending on what they do, then I'll pick up arms. But I'm not going to pick up arms before that and give them the excuse they need and give them the themes and messages they need, which is exactly what they want. They want people disenfranchised, right? Yeah, this is a no-win situation. Yeah. This is a no-win situation, no matter how you look at it. But the point is that if we show up in mass, we all know that we outvote, that we went and voted. It's not whether we vote harder or we vote more. The point is, we go through the process, we play through, and then we pick up arms. Because after that point, everybody knows the system is rigged. Everybody knows that. Everybody's saying that. And it's not just, and Merrick fucking Garland can say whatever the fuck he wants. Here's my message to Merrick Garland. You don't have enough dudes to roll everybody up, motherfucker. So you can keep the rhetoric up, but it's not going to solve your problem. The problem is you don't have enough dudes to roll everybody up. So threaten away.
Imagine how this is going to look, Steve. If everybody's got a vote, and just a simple analogy is if there's 100 people in a precinct, there's like 127,000 people, but if there's 100 people in a precinct and it's 50 Democrat, 50 Republican, and only 20 Republicans show up, the Democrats can pad 50 votes. If everybody shows up and there's 100 people that vote And, you know, 60 people voted for Trump, but the Democrats got 140 votes in that 100 person district. It's really obvious to see the cheating. You're voting because when you vote, that is a recorded thing. Like, they might throw your vote away or not count it, but there's definitely going to be a record of you voted. And if more people in a district vote than the amount of people that are in the district, automatically, you know, something's up. It's very important that people vote. But, you know, let's go all the way through let's say that all of us vote, Trump wins, there's no way they can fucking cheat. And now what? So we've been talking about these situations of they're going to cheat, steal the election, whatever. But what happens if Trump wins? You're going to see smoke coming out of the windows of the Department of Justice, DHS, FBI. They won't even be shredding shit. They'll be throwing Molotov cocktails down the fucking hallway. I mean, imagine what that's going to look like. Like when Clinton, when he left office and his staffers were sticking bubblegum on the keyboard and stealing shit and vandalizing, you know, just being petty. Just think about what this is going to look like. Trump, I remember when he got elected and he's sitting in a room and he has Schumer on one side and he's got Pelosi on the other. Some of you might remember that scene. They were, it was like a jackal and a hyena, and they were just waiting because they knew this guy had no clue what he was doing as president. He had no idea what game he was playing, who he was playing it with. And you got Schumer and Pelosi just looking as smug as serpents on each side of him. And they walked him right into a kill pocket. And so he's coming in this time. He knows the deal. And he, I mean, what the Republicans, where you can tell that it's a uniparty, is they owned both chambers of Congress and the presidency for two fucking years. They had total control and power for 2 years and they fucked us. So I don't have a whole lot of faith that anything's really significantly going to change as far as, you know, what the little man on the street needs from their government, how they're going to protect us. But what will change is there'll be a transformative, kicking over of garbage cans and burning down kind of hierarchies if he does get elected. But these guys have committed so many fucking crimes that could be prosecuted if the Republicans choose to do it. And if enough non-rhino, non-compromised Republicans get elected, that they know they're going to go down. So I don't think they're going to be able to do anything but just literally start burning down fucking buildings. I mean, if Trump gets elected, expect a whole bunch of mysterious fires to happen in D.C. and a lot of different federal buildings, because there's just no other way that they're going to be able to destroy evidence fast enough. They're going to be wiping out entire computer networks. They're going to be breaking shit. It's going to be really interesting to see, because they're going to have to like push all their chips in the middle of the table at that point.
I think it's no matter which way we go, it's going to be violence either way. They've set conditions so nobody will buy the outcome of the election no matter what. And even if we do get through the election without a major event, which Zero Hedge today published an article about 50 things you should have in your home prior to the election. You know, if Zero Hedge is talking about prepping, that they're expecting something to happen too. And that reminds me. So somebody sent me a bunch of video today about a satellite breaking up and coming back to Earth. And there's Matt Wallace posted a bunch. I saw where it came from. Matt Wallace posted a bunch of stuff. It's all nonsense. Look, if there's stuff going on the ground and we're actively engaged in Ukraine, assume that we're actively engaged in space as well. Everybody has assets up there. And it could be as innocuous as one of Elon Musk's satellites burned up on reentry because it lost power. That kind of stuff happens all the time. It doesn't mean aliens are invading. It doesn't mean that they're created some space weapon to drop rocks on you. It looked like a satellite breaking up to me. And that's exactly what it looks like when it burns up and comes back to orbit. So I don't.
A lot of people don't know that with NORAD tracks, like all the shit floating in outer, you know, in space. Right. And, yep. They can only track down to, I think, like a 4-inch, like roughly 4-inch object. You know, it could be like a piece of wire that's 4 inches. It's like tumbling at 20,000 miles an hour, but it's got to be big enough to put off a radar signature to be tracked and then be, you know, have the trajectory calculated. But there's millions of pieces of trash up there, and all the, like the Garmins and the satellite networks and all the other stuff and the stratification of how satellites are deployed. I'm map and compass all the way, because I mean, it's nice to have a GPS, but if you got a map and you got a compass, you're going to be a lot better off. The Chinese already fired a couple of anti-satellite missiles up in the sky and caused a bunch of problems. Don't think for a second that if we were going into a world war, that those satellites are coming down. They're going to target all the strategic satellite, you know, CIA satellites, surveillance satellites, whatever. They're going to take them out, and it's just going to be too bad for everybody else that has a non-geosynchronous parking spot, because that space junk is going to be flying all through the air. And it's just, you know, trash is going to be hitting satellites, and those things are going to be flying off and hitting other satellites. And, you know, your fucking Netflix isn't going to be coming in on channel 200, you know, probably like relatively quickly. And then after that happens, I could see a future where there is literally so much high velocity space junk that's in orbit around us that it may make it a very dangerous proposition for us to be able to even leave our atmosphere. You know, like Elon Musk wants to go and populate Mars or go find other planets or whatever. If we go into a war where mainly China, but everybody else is going to be shooting satellites out of the sky, and we just literally make an overwhelming amount of trash in space that we can't even track because it's smaller than this coffee cup. This coffee cup will fuck up whatever it hits if it's going 20,000 miles an hour. So just think about that. So I don't, the whole stuff coming down, I saw a blowing thing or I saw whatever trash coming out of the sky. That's a normal thing. That's happened, you know, for as long as we've had an Earth, right? But the greater concern isn't just one satellite destaged and then it went back to Earth and it burned up in the atmosphere and you saw it happen. But what happens when you wipe out like 300 satellites and all of those things now are just flying around and, you know, nuts and bolts and crap and panels are hitting other things. It's going to be, you're going to see a lot of light shows. You're going to see a lot of shooting stars at night, every night for the next 1,000 years. But what are the implications of that when you don't have that?
Seeing a downside.
Huh?
I'm not going to have to be connected to the internet as much. I'm going to be able to use my old school things and I'm going to get a sweet light show. I don't see a downside. But since you brought this up, I'm going to take a chance to beat my own drum because you opened a perfect door. You said your map and compass all the way and GPS network's going to go down. Hey, a great way to learn about map and compass is my second book called Fieldcraft, and I have a class based on that. And I have one coming up at Matt's place in just 2 weeks. And we're kind of having like a training festival at Matt's place in 2 weeks. We've got all kinds of classes going on, lots of different trainers all on one site. It's going to be pretty awesome.
We stole Chris from you. It was Chris supposed to be there? Because he's going to be over here doing the gunfighter class in 2 weeks.
No, Chris wasn't going to be there.
Well, you wouldn't steal him from me.
There's I'm bummed out now. Oh, well, we'll make our way down there. Yeah. I want to do those. I love doing those things, man.
So we've got Joe's class. That's going to be going on at the field. We have my buddy Tony from Wyoming Survival is going to be doing his HF operations course. Which a big shout out to him, finally getting him out of his enclave in Wyoming so we can see something other than dirt mountains. He'll get to see forested hills out here, and it's gonna be nice.
Biased at all, are you, Matt?
Yeah, the leaves are already starting to turn. I got back from Texas and it's been so dry here that everything's already starting to change, which is crazy. Because today it was high 90s with full humidity. And in Dallas, it was high 90s with no humidity.
And what part of North Carolina, Matt? You had a user ask that. What part of NC?
I'm in central North Carolina. You can find out when you sign up for a course. I'm in central northern North Carolina. Anyway. You know, I ain't going to hand out, you know, I've got a place right down the road from here that is a store. But the other thing that we're going to be doing that weekend is a TC3 course, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. So a very good friend of mine, Mech Medic, I got him back, Craig, as a 68 whiskey. I got him back into training on the civilian side. He got out of it for a little while. It was a time management thing for him.
What's a 68 whiskey for those non-military types?
Combat medic. Combat medic. So, you know, you're learning from somebody who is, he's not just a combat medic. He's got several other qualifications under his belt in the medical field that he will talk to, he will speak towards in class. But he's got his own website, by the way, stuckpigmedical.com. And he's got a YouTube channel under that same name where he's done a bunch of podcasts. Him and a practicing doctor who are besties, and they're both regular hangouts around here. And, of course, the Welsh Corgi that he has is always makes her appearance in the background, the princess.
Can you put that in the chat, Matt? Update Medical or whatever? I didn't catch the website.
Stuck Pig Medical. Looks like a knife. Stuck Pig Medical. You know, we've got all three of those classes that are going to be going on simultaneously at my place. So it's going to be an excellent opportunity. You know, you're one of the big pluses to classes and training is the cool people that you meet in class, you get to break bread with, share those opportunities. I see a whole lot of people, you know, in the comments, whether it's here or other places, and, you know, you're isolated and all this, you know, doom and gloom, doomer bullshit. Get the fuck out there and do something. You know, get out there and actually train with people. I see a lot of the tinfoil hat crowd. I was dealing with some of that when I was on the road coming back from Texas. I was, you know, every time I'd get off the highway, take a break, scrolling, some people talking about, oh, fed this, fed that. You know, if you say, hey, I'm scared of all that, you need to stay the fuck home. Don't even be involved in any of this. Don't even do anything. Don't even try to, that's what they want.
You could come to the gunfighter course 10 through 12 September here in Phoenix and actually learn some shit with us. Or you can go to Matt's courses and learn some shit. Or you can stay home and rub one out in your basement watching.
I get fed up with that shit. Sport,
whatever it is. Yeah.
I get fed up. I get extremely fed up with that attitude that people have. You know, I get fed up with it, and I'll tell you, the people that I really, really get fed up with is the ones who actually do have backgrounds in combat arms, special operations, that run around. All they want to do is tear down some of these other guys that are out there that are sharing what they know. Fuck that. Actually, double fuck those motherfuckers. Yeah, I said it. You can quote me on that. Because, you know, if you're not out there actively trying to build a community, all you want to do is, you might have a professional disagreement with somebody, or you may not necessarily like somebody's technique or whatever, but if all you're doing is shitting on people, but you're not actually trying to teach them the right way, or even worse, you're just sitting at home, sitting on your skills, that skill set that you could be sharing with the world, and you're not doing that, then who gives a fuck about your opinion? You're like Dan Marino talking about playing in the Super Bowl. That's all it is, because you never did it. So you can't, what can you speak on? It's the whole man in the arena, you know, so period. And the other thing too, I see people, oh, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. Quit smoking, quit drinking, cut out the bullshit, get on a disciplined lifestyle, and you'd be surprised, you know, or not, period.
Joe, you have to go full send now, and then we'll have a complete show.
But I guess the thing is, what's funny is I thought I was the only one that was frustrated, you know, having conversations with people, because, you know, you constantly hear people say why they can't do shit, right? It's not why you can, it's why, it's all the things you can't do. Look, when I started doing this, I started doing it at the request of a bunch of former military guys that I worked with, because they all wanted to know what my opinion was of COVID. And then a couple of months into it, a good friend of mine, who's still in the system, by the way, said, you should be doing this all the time. People want to hear what you have to say. People want to hear what you know, what you're seeing, because your background lends itself to seeing through the bullshit. And he goes, and you've developed a lot of antibodies to bullshit, so you can sniff it out faster than most of the normal people out there. So doing something, regardless of what it is, to hone your skills, even if it's take a map and a compass and go out and do some land navigation, that in and of itself is going to be beneficial, right? What we're talking about is there's never been another opportunity in history where you have so many trained individuals offering training. And I'll tell you how this course developed down here in Phoenix. When Chris was saying it, I have the whole month of September where I don't have anything on my plate. And I said, I want you to come down here and do a course. I want to go through a course and take one of your courses. I don't care if you tell me how ate up I am. I don't care. I want to go do a course just so I can exercise muscle memory. And if that's all you do, and it's just familiarization, it's worth your time and money to do that, because you may not get another opportunity. And that one day, that one moment of training that you do where things click together, that could be the moment that saves your life down the road. And that's why it's so important. And that's why we keep beating the drum on it. The other thing to remember.
Sorry. What Matt's saying is you know, these guys have set up ranges, set up training, set up doctrine, set up patterns. And this getting out there and, you know, really just saying, okay, fine. We were on a live show. It wasn't even like, 3 weeks ago, right? And you guys started talking about that. I got on my phone in the background because I work for a security company. And I'm like, hey, man, can we schedule ranges for this range thing? And my guy, you know, Teddy Spaghetti came back and said, I don't know. Let me check. And Steve's still talking about it. Chris is trying to check his schedule. I mean, it happened like that. And that's exactly what Matt's talking about. We went, all right, you know, can we do this? Let's figure it out. Let's stop talking about it. Let's see if we can fucking do something and then put it together. And so it's, you know, and we just, I'm putting up a range with my own water barrels to support this. So you can get out and you can get involved and you can collaborate with your other veteran friends, or you could lead some type of team or some type of training exercise. And if that's just, you know, what I do all the time is if I'm not training, I go ahead and drop my pin. I go, hey, I'm going to go shooting at this range, you know, on Saturday, if anybody wants to join me. And if you're hanging out with me on the range and it's just me shooting whatever gun I happen to have that day, I'll give you all the free information you want. You know, if you're willing to drive down to the range and hang out with me, like Matt's saying, I will share every little bit of information that's in my brain. You know, if you get off your ass and you come out to the range and you want to hang out with me, or if you want to go camping and do whatever, but you know, the formal training and the formal courses are also important, because that's structured training. That's, you're going there to learn something specific, and that's, you know, that's an important thing. And it's important to take it from different trainers. Cause I do get a lot of, you know, I don't need to go to Matt's class because I got my own training. Well, you've never been to Matt's class, so how do you know that he doesn't know something you don't know? Why don't you show up? You know, it's like how chefs will go to other chefs' restaurants to eat. They're interested in the food. They're interested in the, you know, how do you do the things that you do? So you always got to be open-minded and continue to read and continue to learn, continue to share, continue to grow. And, you know, but if you're just on the receiving end of that, and you're trying to pull knowledge out of the internet, fuck the internet, show up in person to all the people that are on the internet that are literally inviting you to show up, you know, in person and learn something. Just it doesn't require a whole lot of energy to learn. Just, you know, get up, wake up, get your car, drive, park, get out, learn. It's a real simple formula.
So Viking, we'll do a course on home defense strategies. It'll be when we all have time to do that show. I think that's 2 hours, you think, Joe?
Guess what? I just taught that class down at Matt's last weekend.
I was just going to say the community defense course. So
yeah, I have a community security course that we cover how to harden your home. We cover how to set up checkpoints and roadblocks to protect your neighborhood. We have the training out there, whether it's Matt's Scout and Recce course, the tactical medical care course that Craig is going to be running, something that Kay has, or any of our other counterparts out there. We just want you to get trained. And listen, if money is ever a really big issue, get with one of us, because we'll find a way to get someone to fund you to come. We need you to get out and get trained, because we are running out of time. Problems are stacking up. Things are getting worse. The training is what you need to get. More than anything. So sign up for something.
And I want to answer some in the chat. So AZ Vet, you know, Here's what I'll tell you about your neighbors. You may think your neighbors think you're nuts, but trust me when I say this. My neighbors thought I was nuts until about a year ago. And then I have guys coming down the street all the time now asking me about gear, guns, you name it. And when I first moved in, I hadn't even met my neighbor down the street. And this guy showed up at my house. Hey, where do I get a good shotgun? And that's how the conversation started. He already knew that I was an FFL before I even walked down the street. So I guarantee you that they probably know more about you than you think. And what you think they think is probably not true. So continue to engage people around you because that's important. And continue to keep doing what you're doing, because the people that want to dissuade you are the ones that are going to want your help as soon as things blow up. That's how that game's played. So, okay. So we're coming up on, got about 50 minutes left. Let's do some closing comments and then we'll, close it out for the night. Who wants to start closing comments? Don't everybody volunteer at once.
Fine. I'll go. Be very, very careful of what you put in your messaging apps and put on social media. Reading an indictment of a friend of ours. First of all, I was honored to find this logo in the middle of the indictment, which is actually kind of cool. Second of all, the social media and comments made on live streams and comments made on social media played prominently in the government's case. So you have to be very, very careful of what you're putting on there. Don't save those messages. Some of you have messages on your phone that go back to the dawn of time. Start deleting old threads. Have those messages disappear. And more importantly, don't have those kind of conversations. And if you're going to have them, certainly don't have them on anything electronic. So protect yourself, protect your privacy. Get out and take a class. Get out and do something. I've got classes coming up in North Carolina and Oklahoma the next couple of weeks. And I'm heading out to get our west side of the country training center up and running so we can be running all of our classes on both halves of the country. So we're going to have good stuff going on.
Troop, you're up.
Well, I wanted to leave everybody with a message that you're going to run through some challenges. And I'm running through some challenges with the city of Phoenix right now, but I'm going to continue to fight on, crack on with my mission. Don't waffle to tyranny. So that's my message. No matter what, if you know you're doing the right thing, don't put yourself at risk. Don't just go and eat a bullet sandwich because you know you have the moral high ground and you're worth becoming a martyr for it. But know that if people are pressing on you and they're trying to shut you down or they're trying to threaten you or they're trying to harass you, you just need to continue to fight. And you need to continue to go forward. And really what this is going to come down to, if this election goes the way all of us think it will, is you're going to have to get to that choice point where you're like, I may have to have, I'm probably going to lose my career, or I'm probably going to lose my home, or I'm probably going to lose property or material wealth because I am not going to change my behavior so that I can be compliant with whatever the current thing is, because this is exactly what these tyrannical governments are trying to do. They're trying to say, well, if you don't do this, we're going to take something away from you. If you don't do that, then we're going to punish you somehow. And all of us, we need to stand strong and we need to not submit. So whether they come out with COVID masks or whatever, we just need to get ready for just stand on your ground, and some of us aren't going to make it through, whether that means we get killed or more likely thrown in jail. We just need to stand our ground. And I'm not talking about getting violent and all that other stuff. I'm talking about just simply being a dissident and saying, fuck you, I'm not going to do what you tell me. And we all need to just go in our mind right now with that in our head and just decide, are you going to do that? And if there's enough of us, we can pull the stick up on this airplane and keep our country from crashing into the ground. Or are you going to bail out like a fucking pussy? So just, think about that.
Matt, you're up.
be an asset, not a detriment. Learn how to be an asset to your community. You know, period. Communities value assets. That's one of the things that I think is horribly misunderstood in this corner of society, is you have to be an asset to your community. And they value, like, everybody's like, oh, how do I build a group? How do I do this? How do I do? Be an asset. Show up. Be an asset. It doesn't matter what it is you're doing, whether you're, you know, an auxiliary for your volunteer fire department, or you're donating money to whatever, you know, whatever it is. But I'm telling you, a little bit of goodwill goes a very long way if you're an asset to your community. Donating money to kids' little league, right? Going and doing some community service work, getting involved with a civics organization. Right, there's a lot of them out there, I'm telling you. And it doesn't have to be political, by the way. In fact, you know, I find people who are overly political, even, you know, I might agree with them on their, you know, I might align with them. Let's just, you know, be more accurate. But if that's all they're going to talk about, and that's all they can be, and they don't bring anything else to the table, I get real tired of that in a hurry. A lot of other people do too. You know, not everything has to be political, right? But you have, and regardless of someone's political leanings, they are also your neighbor. You need to be an asset to them in your community, and realize even, and that goes a long way in online communities as well. You know, if you're in an online community, recognize that you're a part of one, first of all. A lot of people don't. And, you know, be an asset to that. That's don't try and don't, you know, if all you're doing is running around, again, I'm going to revisit it. If all you're doing is trying to run around, tear people down, you know, at every opportunity you get and just shit on everything you see, people deserve to turn you off. You know, I damn sure do. I ain't got time for that crap. You know, be an asset, period, period. End of story. You know, so anyway, that's the whole motivation behind everything I do. You know, it was the motivation why I began writing back in, you know, 2013 or so, why I started my own blog in 2015, why I've been doing everything that I've been doing up until now, why I wrote my books, why I started my store. Started my store because so many people wanted they kept telling me, hey, we want an alternative to Amazon. We want to have, you know, why doesn't somebody from our community do as well? I did. Here we are. And I brought it to you, and I'm doing the best that I can do. You know, and this community has really embraced it in spades. It has grown huge, way beyond anything I ever expected for it to do. And I'm very, very proud of that. But I'm not proud of it because of anything I did. I'm proud of it because of this community. And I'm proud of it because of the great people that are in it and what we've been able to accomplish together as an outlet. And so that's why I take it to heart when I see a lot of negativity and a lot of bullshit online that people do, and a lot of these bad ideas that just seem to get swirling in the drain like a turd that won't go down, right? Just won't flush, you know? So you have to be the asset. You have to be an asset to your community and be a big one, right? Be a big one. That's where it matters. That's where it matters. We ain't got time for all the doomer shit. Get out there, right? Yeah, the house is on fire. What are you going to do? You going to get your water hose and start spraying? Or are you going to keep just shouting that the house is on fire? Right. Discount code OTOF. Definitely all caps. OTOF. One team, one fight. OTOF at checkout. Brushfeeder.store. That applies to everything on there, by the way. And we've got a bunch of new products. The Armasite. A lot of people really, really like the Armasite 640s. The new clip-ons that are out. I think that they absolutely rock. Well, now we've got a lower cost version of that. The 320 resolution is now out. They've just been released, and I got a whole bunch of them in stock. Getting hands on with one, the one that I've got for display, it's very, very impressive unit at a much less, much lower price point than what I think what the MSRP was on it. I think it's a hell of a lot of bang for the buck. And, you know, if you're looking for one device clip-on units are extremely popular if you're looking for that one device to have to add to to give you a little bit of enhanced targeting capability, well, a lot of it of enhanced targeting capability, both day and night. That's going to be the one. That would be the one that I strongly suggest. So anyhow, brushbeater.store, it is all up over there. Anything that says that it's out of stock will be in stock within the next week or so.
Awesome. So I got a couple of thoughts here. First things first, the URL for the 10 through 12 September gunfighter course is in the description, along with the URL for the shirts. A couple of you have mentioned shirts. They ship within a week. So you should, I think folks have been getting them in 7 days, 5 to 7 days. So good news there. But if you go and sign up for the gunfighter course, you got to go to Chris's store and then send a deposit. It's in the middle of the store page. Once you do that and you send the deposit, you'll be set to show up. And then if you need lodging, et cetera, I'll post some lodging probably on the description for Monday's sit rep. I'll start posting links to good places around Ben Avery. Ben Avery is north of Phoenix, so it's a bit out of town. It's not in downtown Phoenix. So there's a few hotels up here, moderately priced, like 90 or 100 bucks a night, so it's not bad. And if you're going to come in through Phoenix, you're going to meet four of us. So Colonel Johnson will be here, Troop will be here, I'll be here, Chris will be here. So you're going to meet four of us if you come to the course and shoot with us. So the other piece I was going to say and add to is we are running out of time, and we know that something big is coming, whenever that is. Could be this year, could be next year, but something big is coming. I don't see them allowing the election to go off without a hitch, just because the way they installed Harris. They essentially didn't allow their constituents to vote on Harris because they didn't trust the voter base. That is a very, very telling statement about how they think the election is going to go. They don't trust the voters to show up in mass and give them the ability to
Meanwhile, cheat. They say they're defending their democracy, yet they did an end around democracy.
Yes, they did. They didn't use the process at all. So expect the unexpected. That's why we're harping on training. That's why a lot of these topics over the last few weeks have been about actually doing stuff. Now is the time to do. Not the time to think, not the time to plan. Now's the time to do. Build your muscle memory, make human interactions, engage with people around you. And Matt's right, cut the politics out of it. Not everything needs to be political. In fact, most conversations are better when you don't bring politics into it, especially now. And if you do anything over the next couple of weeks, go out and actually exercise and use your gear at a minimum. If you can go out and be a participant in a course, go do that. Even if you go to the range, go do familiarization fire. It's a perishable skill. And I can tell you that cycling a weapon is not as easy as it looks. It's a lot harder, especially when you're pulling mags out of a pouch. It's a hell of a lot harder than you think it is. So exercise muscle memory now. And Matt's right, be a leader in your community. So things are going to develop fairly quickly over the next several weeks. And I would hope that if you could take advantage of it, you do. So gentlemen, I appreciate you guys doing this every week. I appreciate the support. Can't tell you how much I appreciate that. Mike Ferris will be hosting the show tomorrow night for the audio roundtable. So look for that. It should kick off at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern. And I'll be back Monday with a sit rep. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.
Whoa.